Psalm 119, are you there? And so last week we started reading Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and it is a light to my path. Now, do you remember what we started looking at last week? We started to talk about how God's word was sweet to our taste. Remember that? We're not chewing down on some old sort of stringy celery stick or cucumber stick or, I don't know, pick what you don't like. If you like cucumber and celery, it's not going to work for you. But, you know, you're chomping down on something that doesn't taste good. No, that's not what the word of God is to us. It's sweet to our taste. It's good to our taste. Hallelujah. There are things I like. There's things I don't actually have a very sweet tooth as things go. I actually like the savouries. You know, give me a little bit of nice cheeses and salamis and those kinds of things. And that's kind of my taste. But that tastes good to me. You know, a little bit of Jarlsberg and some nice, now I'm hungry. but you know, you brew up a celery stew for me, and it's just not going to be a good day, you know. No, but God's word is such that His word to you should be sweet, because it should be exactly what you need to hear. It is to your taste. Now we discovered last week, sometimes it seems like God is telling us to do things that we don't want to do, that don't sound sweet to us. And we discovered that the reason for that is primarily because an old flesh way of thinking, an old flesh nature which is already dead, the memory of it, the habitual pattern of it is trying to cause you to run a different way, to lead a different life, to walk a different path. And when you're convinced that that's really what you want, if you're convinced that that's really what you need, then everything else is going to taste bad to you. Let me tell you a trick that we like to do on the Americans when they come over and visit, and which we used to do in YWAM, is Americans love Nutella. It looks a little bit similar to Vegemite. It really doesn't. It really doesn't if you put them both together, but you can pull it off. So you give them a Nutella sandwich only. It's not Nutella. It's Vegemite. Now listen, that one bite will now ruin them from ever wanting to go near Vegemite again. Now here's the thing though. They are now convinced that Vegemite is of the devil. They are now convinced the Vegemite is some kind of nuclear waste that's been scraped off the side of a power plant somewhere and put in jars and sold to unwitting Australians. Okay, but now here's the thing. If you had done it a different way, if you had made some beautiful lightly buttered toast that was still warm and a little scraping on the top there, honestly, and you had explained to them it was a kind of a beefy, salty kind of a taste. It was a savory flavor. Then they would have bitten it. Some of you are shaking your heads, but honestly, if this nice buttered toast and with a little thin layer of scraping, they would have thought, they would bite into that and think, that's quite nice. Now you may disagree with me, but I've seen this exercise done. I've seen this. It is amazing. You can be persuaded that you don't like something because of all the negatives that you've managed to attach to it psychologically. But when we scrape all that away, when we get rid of all the influence of our old ways of thinking, and we surrender ourselves to God, and then He exposes us to something that He wants us to do, I tell you, it can all of a sudden, it can be night and day from what you thought about it yesterday to what you thought about it today. There have been things that have happened like that in my life where I've been looking at something, oh man, I just never want to do that, never want to go near that. And God will do something in my heart, He'll make an adjustment, and I look at it again, it's like, man, I want to do that. It's amazing how that adjustment can take place. And so we found out that our character, our understanding of the character and nature of God can greatly affect who we think God really is. If you think he's just an angry old man sitting in heaven waiting to slap you around the head with a bit of 4x2 because you said you didn't want to do something, man, if that's your perception, then our understanding of what God says to us is going to be seriously messed up. We're not going to be willing to listen and understand that what God wants for us is best. And so we found out all of these good things, that it's good for us. Romans 8:6, we looked at that. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So here we've got the motivation. Do you want life and peace or death? That should be a very, very easy question to answer. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Okay, so we've got these multi-choice questions that God puts before us. Well, that one was easy. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it eats fruit. No, but there's another one that says, choose you this day. Which one are you going to have? Death or life? Blessings or curse? And then it gives you the answer. I mean, if the multi-choice was too tough for you, let me tell you, let me give you a hint. Choose life! You know, that's how it works. So we should be understanding this. To be carnally minded is death. To think naturally is death. To have those things magnified in your life that are bigger than God, that's death. That's death thinking right there. No, we want life and we want peace. I made a statement last week which I want to reiterate to you. God doesn't ask you to lay down your destiny. He asks you to lay down your soulish version of it. What have you come up with? What great plans have you come up with, you know? What great plans have you presented to God? It's like, you know, told God, you know? Sometimes God just patiently waits for you to get through all of your ideas. And then when you finally come to the end of yourself and realize that none of that worked, he says, now, are you ready to listen to me? Are you ready to hear some instructions? And sometimes we push and push and push. And we realize that we're trying to chomp down on something we just don't like, and we need to understand that God's words will be sweet to our taste. Listen to what he would say to you. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see what? That the Lord is good. Taste it. See it. He's good. He tastes good. His plans for us are good. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. Let's remind ourselves of that verse. Very well-known verse in the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Hallelujah. So what are the dreams in your spirit? What have you been dreaming about? What are you dreaming in God? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to put vision and dream on the inside of you? Are you allowing him to perhaps even stir up the very seed that he's put in you since you were conceived in your mother's womb, since he knit you together in that matrix in the mother's womb, as the Bible puts it? Are you willing to let the dreams that you had as a little child come to the surface? Because maybe it's those very dreams that God put inside of you. Are you ready to let go of your good ideas and see his God ideas in manifestation? Remember, we asked ourselves a question at the end of it last week, at the end of our time last week. If all the limitations, problems, restrictions, and arguments life tries to make for you and the devil tries to work against you are removed, what do you do now? What would you do next? If all the restrictions, limitations, arguments, problems that life or the devil tries to work against you are removed, if there's nothing restricting you, there's no financial restrictions, health restrictions, relational restrictions, nothing is restricting you, what would you do next? That's a good question to ask yourself. Because if you come to that place, if you understand that, if you follow that pattern of thought fully through, really, seriously, what's restricting anybody? And if you do have a restriction, if you do have something, we say, well, this debt is keeping me from doing what I need to do. Then you need to seek God. Father, what is your strategy? Would you help me get rid of this limitation in my life? Because this is the thing that's stopping me doing what I believe you've called me to do. He'll help you there. He'll give you the strategy. He'll give you the word. He'll drop something in your heart that will maneuver that out of the way. You see, I've just written a book recently. Some of you, most of you, hopefully all of you have a copy, because we gave one to every family, called The Seed of Non-Compromise. And sometimes what God says to you is, I want you to do something that might cost you in the short term, but because you're doing it in obedience to me, you'll have a long-term harvest out of it. It'll be much more besides when we decide to do what God tells us to do. So if all of those things could be removed, if you get before God and he shows you the strategy as to how to get things out of the way that could be restricting you, then what's holding you back? Nothing. Nothing. I sometimes feel really saddened. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever driven through, we don't really see too much of it in Australia, but if you go to Europe and other places around the world, you can drive through some suburbs, especially in the inner cities, and I can't imagine living in some of those places. I mean, just the filth and the crime and the graffiti and broken down, this, that and the other. But you know what? You could drive maybe half an hour and be out in countryside and little villages and towns. And I think to myself, what is keeping those people there? Why would you stay there? People don't know. They don't know that they could move half an hour away. And they would have all the excuses as to why not and this, that and the other. Really, at the end of the day, there isn't a reason. I was sitting talking, again, Carly was just reminding us, so I was asking him yesterday about, you know, where he had come from. So actually, someone else was asking him where he had come from. You know, and you, when you're in a war-torn country, in a war-torn zone, and then in a refugee camp and everything else, you know, there is that is not the place you want to be. I can't imagine. I can't relate to that. I can't imagine that scenario. But God's will is what? To keep you there? No. To bring you out into a good land, a good place, flowing with milk and honey, you know, spiritually speaking, that tastes good. Amen. You don't have to stay stuck. It makes me sad when I talk to people that they've been, you know, and I'm going to use this as an analogy. Forgive me if God's called you to sell shoes, but, you know, I would have to be seriously called of God to work with people's feet, you know. Come into that shop, take off their shoes and, woo, that could be an interesting job, you know. Praise the Lord. But anyway, can you imagine if someone worked in their entire life selling shoes and hated every minute of it? Can you imagine? I mean, day in, day out, putting, you know, working with people's smelly feet. And they sit there as a Christian their whole life and just complain about it every day, every week. Man, I hate this job. Oh, I hate this job. I hate people's feet. I hate feet. You know, can you imagine? I mean, just for 40, 50 years or something. Leave! Get another job! Seriously! I mean, why would you keep doing something you hate? Find out what God has called you to do. I mean, don't just be, you know, don't just jump out of, you know, because you're having a bad day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, get the wisdom of God. Don't just jump out because you just don't particularly want to do that particular day. No, you need to get the word of the Lord, but get it. And then do what he's called you to do. This is so important, folks. Why would we spend an entire life? I mean, sometimes God will tell you to do this, to change that, to make the adjustment here, the adjustment there. He's not called us to live an entire life of drudgery and frustration. Sometimes there's wisdom where God says, well, actually, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to leave that place. But what I want you to do is add this to it. or I want you to believe for this to be added. There are different dimensions of this, but what I'm getting to, the place I want you to understand is at the end of the day, it will be sweet to your taste. You will be fulfilled in what God is calling you to do. And so we ended last week with Psalm 37, verse 3, and it said this, "Trust in the Lord and do good." You're going to have to trust God with this. You're going to have to trust God with this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. What's the land that God wants you to dwell in? Feed on His faithfulness. Let Him give you the food to eat. Let Him give you the thing that's good for your mouth. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you what? The desires of your heart. What are they? What has God put in there? What are the desires that God has seeded on the inside of you that He wants you to do? That's what the Lord wants to give to you. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. All right, let's go back to Psalm 119. We're going to move on to the next verse. I just felt it was important just to reiterate where we had come to from last week. Psalm 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." That's what we've just been going over again. Now here's the next part. Verse 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, once we've determined that everything God says to us concerning our life and destiny is good, once we believe He's a good God and He's going to lead us in paths of righteousness, once we've discovered that everything He says is sweet to our taste when we're walking in the Spirit and not influenced by the flesh, then we will love what? Every precept of God's Word. Once you understand what He's about to say to you is going to be good, you're going to get excited about what He's going to say. If you're confused about what God wants for your life, then you're going to be tense and nervous about what He says next because you're not sure whether you're going to like it or not. Isn't that right? But once you're convinced, once you come to the place where even if it sounds like the worst thing in the world, actually I know God's going to give me His grace for it. And when I step into it, it's going to be sweet to my taste. Once you've got to that place, once you've settled that, every precept of God, every precept of God, your precepts, through your precepts, I get what? Okay, now this is where we're going. See, we want to discover together what is it that God wants us to do. Because I genuinely believe that 99% of Christians, the reason they're not doing what God wants them to do is not out of just a pure act of rebellion. It's because they're not sure. And we need to get clarity on what God's saying. So right here, it simply says, through now, with that sweetness in your mouth, with that revelation of God's goodness and His character, through your precepts, I get understanding. Now, the Greek word for understanding, now listen, it's very interesting. It literally means to separate, to separate from something, to separate one thing from another thing. It means to mentally distinguish, to understand the difference between that and the difference between that. The difference between soul and the difference between flesh. The difference between turning right and turning left. I don't know if I shared this with you before, but some of you probably haven't heard it. But many years ago, I was driving from Leeds to Manchester, and I didn't have a GPS system. I didn't have a map book and I didn't have a navigator. I didn't have anybody. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a smartphone. This was before smartphones, actually. And I didn't know how to get there. I don't know why I hadn't planned this. I don't know why I hadn't planned to have a map and directions and everything. But anyway, I got in the car, I turned the ignition on and suddenly thought, I don't know where I'm going. And so the thought came to me, ask the Lord to direct you. And so I did, and I asked the Lord to direct me. I said, Holy Spirit, would you lead me? And so every intersection I came to, every roundabout that I came across, I said, Lord, now which way do we go as I'm coming up to it? And I thought about going left and I thought about going right. And one of them I had peace and one of them I didn't. And I think only once did I go around, I went around a roundabout and went off an exit. I missed it And as soon as I did that, immediately in my spirit was this sort of lack of peace, or just this tension. And so I turned around, got back on the roundabout, went round to the next one, got a piece, went. The Lord led me from door to door. I pulled up at that door by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That was a wonderful exercise to learn how to follow the leading of the Lord. Why? He separated left from right. He separated this way from that way. He separated that to himself. It was distinguished for me. He gave me what? Understanding. He gave me understanding. Now, the word of the Lord will give us understanding. The word of the Lord will give us a distinguishing between one direction and another direction, between one direction and another band. Yeah. Between one going in one from one way to another way. It will give us distinction. No, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's probably a good thing. I don't even really know what I'm talking about. I listen to the music anyway. Now, think about the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's quickly go over there. The Bible describes itself as the very dynamic, His precepts. That's what we're talking about. Through His precepts, we get understanding. We get the distinction between one thing to another thing. We get the separation of different things. While Hebrews 4, verse 12 says what? The Word of God is living and powerful and active, yeah, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of what? Soul and spirit and bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that correct? Right, so what does that do? The Word of God is doing what here? Dividing. Did you hear that? It's dividing between soul and spirit. It's dividing between one thing and another thing. What's flesh and what's God? Is it me or is it you, God? That's the number one question people ask. Most of the time, if you know God and His character, you don't have to deal with, is it the devil?
That's right.
The devil didn't tell you to come to church this morning.
No.
The devil didn't tell you to give that offering to someone. The devil didn't tell you to, you know what I'm saying? Most of the time, if you know the character of God, you know, you can get the devil out of your thinking. He's not telling you to do good stuff, right? You don't have to pray that morning when there's some sort of temptation to steal some from someone. Well, is that you or is that the devil, God? No. If you know the character of God, you're not wondering whether God told you to rip someone off, you know. Well, you know, God, if I did that deal, you know, if I ripped that person off, I could tithe more. That's not going to be God, all right? It's not going to be God. So once you've settled that, it really comes down to two things. Is it me or is it God? And so but right here, the Bible says that He's able to divide between soul and spirit. That Word of God, those precepts of God, when they're in your life, when the Word of God is rich in your life, the more of His Word is in your life, it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer every even little decision that you have to make. Hallelujah. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. What is that? Simply this. Is it me or is it God? My soul, is it my will, my mind, my emotions? Or is it my spirit, which is in communion with the Holy Spirit? The Word of God is what will divide those things. The precepts of God are what will give you separation of those things, understanding of those things. The soul left to its own devices is wide open for deception. Have you figured that one out yet? The soul, mind, will, and emotions, left to its own devices, given leadership, given charge of your life, is open to deception because it bases its conclusions on the information given to it. If that information is not from your born-again spirit, then it is left to believe what your natural senses perceive. Let me read that to you again. The Lord gave this to me this morning. I wrote it down. The soul left to its own devices is wide open for deception because it bases its conclusions on the information given to it. If that information is not from your born-again spirit, then it is left to believe what your natural senses perceive. In this state, you'll simply believe the circumstances. You'll be living by sight and not by faith. You'll be living by what you perceive and not by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just what? Temporary. You want to base your life on something temporary or something eternal? Things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. So what's not seen, what's being referred to here is what has been written in the unseen, which is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. It's an eternal thing. So I want to encourage you in this. As believers, we need to fall in love with the Word of God again. Are you reading your Bible? It's very quiet.
Yes.
Are you reading your Bible? I thought that was a simple question. I didn't think that was too difficult a question there. Are you reading your Bible? I want to encourage you. There's daily readings that you should be doing. Get through the Bible once a year just in daily readings. That's really simple, super simple. The reading pattern that I recommend is one that is put out by Eagle Mountain International Church. It's a very simple reading pattern. Usually has a couple of Old Testament chapters, one New Testament chapter, Monday through Friday. On a Saturday, it has some Psalms and some Proverbs. And on a Sunday, it doesn't have anything. Why? Because you're here in the Word, right? It's not that you're getting a day off in from the Word. It's the assumption is you're in church and receiving the Word as well. Amen. So it's a great pattern. I recommend it for you. But be in the Word. Then don't just be in the Word in terms of a daily reading. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to a passage or a book or a chapter to meditate on and to study and draw from for the strength and for the particular word. Listen to the word being preached. Listen to me preaching. Listen to others that you know and trust are teaching you the uncompromised word of God. Download the message. If you come to this church, this is my assumption. If you come to this church, you genuinely believe that what's going to come through this service on a Sunday morning, be it in the worship, be it in the word, be it in the prophetic unction, whatever it happens to be, it's going to be from God for you. Would that be a fair assumption? That if you come to this church, you believe that there is going to be something from God for you in this message. Well, if you believe that, if you believe what I preach is by the Holy Ghost, from the Word of God, and it's for you directly, then why would you only listen to that once? I'm just putting it out there. If you seriously believe it could be a word of the Lord for you that would help you in your week, help you in the things you're doing, why would you just sit on Sunday morning and listen to it once? Now, your spirit gets it all, but can I encourage you? Your soul doesn't. Your mind, will, and emotions didn't get it all. Your mind, will, and emotions need to be renewed to what your spirit got. So you're going to need to meditate on that word a little bit more. There's a few things you can do. Number one, you could take notes on a Sunday morning. You could bring a notepad and a notebook. And I'm not talking about writing everything down, but every now and then, the Spirit of God, that's for me. Write it down. That script, that's for me. Write it down. The Lord will say something to you in it. Write it down. Take it away later on. Go Sunday afternoon, sit under a tree with your Bible and your notepad and meditate what God told you. Midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, usually the YouTube video is ready for you to download. Look at it again. The audio is ready for you to download from our website. Listen to it again. Probably around the fourth or the fifth time through, you'll get what God's trying to, give you in great measure. It genuinely though, seriously, if you really genuinely believe that God's called you to this church and that He's going to bring His word to you through this message, through these messages, through these services, then treat it as something precious. It's from God for you. And I want to encourage you to utilize that. There are people around the world that do that. Listen to it. I met a family the other day down in Byron Bay, came up to me, said, "You're famous." I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, you're famous in our household. We listen to you all the time on the internet. They're from America." How cool was that? That was kind of cool. I mean, that, for your own ego, that is quite good. But But that's not what was really exciting for me. That's not what was really, really good for me. Here's what they said next. In some of the darkest and most difficult times that we've been through in the last 2 years, it was the messages that God gave you that we listened to from you that helped us through those times. Why? I'm out of the way now. It was the messages God gave them in that moment. I just happened to be the voice that God was working through. Now, that was exciting for me to hear. Well, if people are doing that halfway around the world, hey, I'm your pastor. You know what? Take what the Lord's saying and take it to heart. I'm not trying to... you hear what I'm saying? I'm not trying to elevate me in your... I'm trying to elevate the Word. If it's valuable to you, take what you're hearing and listen to it more than once. Amen. That doesn't always mean listen to the whole message more than once. There may just be a portion of what, like I said, you've taken notes. Go meditate on that thing you know God said to you until it becomes bigger on the inside of you than the issues of your week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Now listen to this. This is what we've got to do with this word. See, if His precepts are understanding to us, if His precepts will separate from us, if you're sitting here today, which is... if you're not, then you... anyway, you know what I mean by this. It's a funny statement, isn't it? If you're here today, what a funny statement. If you're here, if you're sitting here today and you're listening to my voice, which again is also obvious, and you're wondering about your future and your destiny and what God's really calling you to, I'm asking you this question. How genuinely serious are you about wanting to know the answer? Really, genuine. I mean, if really, how serious are? Because if you're genuinely serious about wanting to know the answer, and the Bible tells you that His Word will divide for you between what's right and what's wrong, and show you what your future is and your destiny is to become, then how seriously are you going to take a hold of the Word of God and allow it to discern for you the difference? I'm encouraging you now in this. I'm encouraging you now. Why? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 tells us this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. Why? Why would somebody who's had training, teaching, and different things, why would somebody again slip back into wanting to suck on a bottle? It's the same reason grown-ups... big people find themselves also, when life's not going so well, sucking on another bottle. Down in the grog, comforting themselves in something else. It's the same thing. Why? What happens when a Christian who's been walking in the Word is no longer chewing on meat, but wants to go back to milk, wants to go back to some very, very basic things? It's maybe because they've lost some things, maybe haven't had a consistency now. Can I encourage you, having said that, if you find yourself back in that place, just doesn't matter. Just start with what you've got. Start with the simple things again. Start with the basic messages again. That's okay. It's okay, but just be determined not to stay there. Be determined not to stay there. You've got to progress from milk into little, you know, mooled stuff. Something that can be spooned to you, to then progressing to some bread and to, you know, a couple of little crackers, and then eventually you don't start off on steak, right? But if you've been in the Word long enough, you should be aiming to get there where you can start to chew on some of the really chewy stuff. Praise God. Because this is what it says in verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. You shouldn't still be sucking on a bottle of milk 20 years into your Christianity. Really, not even 2 years in. God's doing quick works in people, folks. I've seen people. David Welsh, good friend of mine, director of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You've heard his testimony. He went in for the interview for KFC. You remember that one? He got handed the job of the Australasian director of Kenneth Copeland Ministries within 18 months of being saved. That's a significant acceleration in God. So So I don't think there's too many excuses. I mean, if you can be handed that kind of responsibility over a ministry that teaches people within 18 months, what did he do though? He had 18 months of absolute saturation in the Word of God. I mean, he just dived into it. He was a businessman. He sold his business. He moved his family to America, went to Bible college. I mean, that man just soaked in and saturated himself in the Word of God. God did a quick work. He'll do that for you too. He'll do that for you too. Even naturally speaking, babies don't want milk that long. I mean, they might still want a bit of milk here and there to, you know, go settle down, go sleep. But their stomach's starting to crave some food in there. The milk's not satisfying it anymore. That milk shouldn't be satisfying you anymore. You want some more stuff. You want some stuff that's going to help you discern for you some decisions, some major decisions in life. For everyone partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, who does the Bible consider of full age? Those who by what? Reason of use. You've got to use the Word of God. Don't just be a hearer only. Be a doer of the Word of God. The ones that use the Word of God are the ones who are maturing in the Word of God. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That doesn't mean so that you live out of your five senses. That means that your spirit has now got your senses in submission. Your sight, smell, sound, taste, touch are not leading you now. They're in submission to the spiritual leadership and guidance and the Word of God that's working on the inside of you to be able to discern the difference of things. Because you cannot trust your natural perception of what's going on around you. You simply can't. You cannot. Your perception depends on where you're standing, your experience, what someone's told you. I could draw a big figure 9 in front of me right here. I could get a can of spray paint and draw a 9 right there. And if you're standing right though in front of me here, you and I would argue until the sun goes down that you would say that's a 6, and I'd say no, that's a 9. You'd say no, that's a 6. You drew a 6. I said no, that is a 9. I'd be right, you'd be wrong. Only because I'm the author of it. Now listen now. I'm the author of it. I wrote it. So you're standing on that side of your perception, looking at something, arguing with God, because of your understanding of what you're looking at, and he's saying, no, it's something else. Don't stand there arguing with God. He's the author of it. He wrote it. Just say, just accept. Okay, God, show me, teach me. Get in your word, give me understanding of how that I need to change my perception on that. Amen? All right. So how do we do this? By reason of use, have the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we can see here clearly here that the Scriptures help us. And here's the last point. So does the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit works with the Word of God. In John chapter 15, verse 26, we see quite clearly this. But when he, the Helper, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. Now listen to this. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Again, John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now here's the exciting part. He will guide you into all truth. That's an exciting statement. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. Well, the question then is, what is truth? Well, that's what we're looking at. The Word of God is the one that will discern between what's true and what's false, what's right and what's left, what's good and what's bad. The Holy Spirit will divide even to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember, Jesus was standing before Pilate. Do you remember that moment? Pontius Pilate. And John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should hear," here it is, "bear witness of the truth." Everyone who is of the truth hears me. The truth opens your ears. Everyone who is of the truth will come, there'll come a clarity of what Jesus is saying. Pilate asks the question, I wouldn't want to be in Pilate's position. He's about to condemn Jesus to death. He's under a lot of pressure, put a lot of pressure on his wife's. I've had a dream. Don't condemn this man. And his question, this is the question that Pilate comes to. And really, this is the question that the rest of the world who don't know Jesus yet, this is their question right here. The same thing that came out of the mouth of Pilate. What is truth? That's it right there. That's the world's question. What's true? What's true? What's real? Well, Psalm 119, the very psalm that we're in, answers this. We jump to verse 160, and it says this, the entirety of your word is truth. Right there. When you study Hebrew, you discover something really interesting, is that every word has a numerical value, every word has a letter value, every word has a pictorial value. But you discover some beautiful things about the way the Aleph Bet itself is constructed. If you take the Aleph, which is the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, you take the Tav, which is the very last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, so the beginning and the end. Jesus is the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And you take the very middle letter, which is the letter Mem. So the beginning, the middle, and the end of all letters, of all words. You take those three letters and you put them together. It spells a Hebrew word, emet. Emet is the word for truth. Emet, truth. The beginning, the middle, and the end of all of those letters, all those words, is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. Is truth. Everyone who is of truth. Here's my voice. The entirety of your word is truth. Jesus prayed for us. In John chapter 17, he prayed this. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he said this, sanctify them. Separate them. Divide them. What from? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Again, it all comes down to the same thing. It's the word of truth by the Holy Spirit of truth manifested in your life that is going to divide for you the difference between turning left and turning right. Not just in big life decisions like who to marry. Yes, it will discern that for you. Yes, it will divide that for you. But what about the little decisions? What about the turn left here instead of turning right? And then you find out that there was a car accident there just moments later. I sometimes get frustrated and I turn down a wrong road and something. And Jill says, don't worry about it. Don't get upset about it. What if we missed an accident? Well, you know, what if you were following the leading of the Holy Spirit and you didn't even realize it? What if, you know, we had a testimony a few weeks ago that Jill had a prompting in her heart that the airplane we were about to go on the next day was not going to be a good flight. It was going to end in disaster. We get to the airport, they've cancelled the flight. The only flight that was cancelled for that day. Well, thank God for the prompting to the Holy Ghost, because we knew, okay, God, you're in this. You're in this. Hallelujah. The word, why? Because the word's in us. The word's working in us. The word, Spirit of truth is working that word on the inside of us. What's false? What's a lie? How do we identify that? Basically, you don't need to. We're not directed anywhere to study the lies. How do I identify what the lie is? Don't study the lie. Study the truth. You don't have to study all the different religions to find out that Christianity is true. Just study the truth. Study Christianity. Study the Bible. Study the word of truth. Hallelujah. Why? Because faith is that word. Faith, the substance of faith comes from that word which created all things. So the substance of all things comes from the word. So anything that is truly true has come from the word originally, and it is his word which will reveal it to your life right now. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Now, here's what it said next. This is what's going to happen. When you fall in love with the truth, when the truth becomes very clear to you because the word of God is so rich in you, what happens next? Therefore, I hate every false way. It becomes so, the truth becomes so rich in your life that you cannot stand to the point where the Bible says you hate the false. You won't allow it to be in your life. You won't allow it. The Greek word for hate is for hate means an enemy, a foe, odious. Odious. Detestable. Just like, oh, can't stand to be near anything that's false. Because truth is in your life. When I got saved, my whole life was a lie. I lied to everybody. Everybody lied to me. That's just how we grew up. That was just the kind of culture. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you grew up in those lies. Some of you lied to yourself. I lied to myself. I made all sorts of things up about my life. I lied to my imagination. I hadn't seen my dad since I was two. All I knew is he lived in Italy. So I made up all these stories. He was in the mafia, and he was this, and he was a, you know. I mean, I made up all these stories. I think kids that don't know the parents often sometimes do that, you know, to try to make up something that sort of feels good. But I came to the point where I walked into a little Baptist church one day and the word of God cut to my heart, and I knew something was real about this. Why? Because my whole life up to that point has seemed like a lie. I was lying to everyone. Everyone was lying to me. But now for the first time, I heard the truth. And it cut to my heart, and I knew it was different from anything else I'd ever heard in my life. That's what it is right now. The truth is sweet to you. The lie is odious. So, practically speaking, as we wrap up here, what do I need to do? I've got five things I want you to do. Five things I want you to take note of. Number one, read the word of truth. If you're not reading it, start reading it. If you're reading it a little bit, read it some more. Read the word of truth. Number two, meditate on the word of truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a verse, a passage, a book, a chapter, whatever it is. Read it over slowly. Meditate on it. Study it out. Let the Holy Spirit bring great a revelation to you from that passage. Believe the word of truth. It's one thing to read it, meditate on it, then you've got to believe it. You've got to believe the word of truth. Number four, speak the word of truth. Once you've got your believer switched on, your speaker will start going into action. I believe, therefore I speak. Okay? The righteousness of faith speaks. So once you're believing it, once it's settled in your heart, then start to speak it. And number five, live it. Live it. Live the word of truth. Live according to your word. Make his word your word and live according to your word. Amen? I guarantee you, if you will put effort into these five things and make them prominent in your life, that the will of God for you will become clear. That the fogginess and the haziness will draw aside, and His word promises to make things clear, to bring wisdom to you, knowledge to you, understanding to you, to separate you from the things that are trying to crowd you and push you down another road. I guarantee that this will work for you. Hallelujah. Isn't His word good? His word is sweet to us. It's understanding to us. And once we get into that place, when we recognize it, we hate everything else. I didn't say hate everyone else. Everything else. Everything that's false. Everything that's trying to hurt the people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for your word to us today. I thank you that you have enabled us and helped us. I thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you that his word is the word of truth, and that by the Spirit of truth, he is leading us into all truth. I want you to say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me into all truth. I am no longer living in any level of a lie. I live in the truth of God's word, in Jesus' name.